Okay, my name is Gavin Rogers. I was a miner for 18 years. I work in the Glen and North Colliery as a face worker. Well, we knew there was something brewing because we heard a lot of people talking about, the pit closures. And one particular night I was sat in front of the telly and the news was on. And it was two or three pits which come out on strike in Coventry. And as soon as I heard that, the next morning, I had a phone call off the union representative to meet the colliery. And we went to the mine, and outside the door of the Glen and North Colliery, there's about 300 miners picketing. And obviously there was no scamps as such, so we was just sat there or stood there waiting for information. And the day after, we had a meeting on top of the mine outside the canteen. There was probably about 1,800 miners at the North Glennon, and we had a show of hands, a ballot on top of the mine whether to take strike action, which we took that day. At first, we really didn't know enough about it. We heard about the leaked document that there were so many mines closing throughout Great Britain, and it really stirred us up because we thought that we was going to lose our jobs, because when we first added as miners, we thought our jobs was going to be there forever. But as soon as we heard this leaked document, we was very, very determined to fight for our jobs. Within the first week of us coming out on strike, we was meeting at Newbridge Miners Welfare at every morning at 9 o'clock, and then the union representative was to give us positions where to go picketing. And my first picketing exercise was to Coventry, Dole Mill Colliery. I was up there for a week at a time. So within the first week, I was active as a picketer. Well, when we went up to Dole Mill Colliery, I couldn't believe it. There wasn't only the Glen and North boys there. There was probably about 3,000 miners. And there was a hell of a lot of scabs or miners going to work because they was passing the picket line. And for the first time in my life, I've never seen anything like it. The riots, it was incredible. The police outnumbered us probably 3-1. That's the amount of police always up there. Never seen anything like it. From my experience, I was only fighting for my job, and for people to get beat up for fighting for your work was incredible. Because I've seen men, my friends, even me, bullied by policemen, hitting you with their truncheons and putting the horses in you, driving their horses into you. They had vehicles in Dole Mill which had like snow ploughs on the front of them. And he was just driving so slow into you that he was just pushing you like snowplows just to get you out of the way. I think if we had listened to Arthur Sargill, everybody through the country, even the Nottingham miners at day one, I think we would have been back in work within a matter of 3 months. But because Nottingham miners wouldn't come out on strike with us, not only Nottingham, there was a couple up in Coventry as well, up England, some part of England. And I honestly believe that if they'd all come out on strike, we would have won or been back in work within 3 months. I honestly believe if I hadn't gone picketing, we would have lost the house. We would have probably lost everything. I was a young man. I had three young children. The one was born in the strike. The youngest boy was born in the strike. And I honestly believe I was having £19 a week for picketing. I was going up on a Sunday evening to Coventry, and I was coming back home on a Friday evening. And for those 5 days of picketing, I was having £19 in union funds off the union. Plus my family off the DHSS was having about another £25. And we had three children. The mortgage was frozen. Lucky enough, the council mortgage which I had, which was pretty understanding. And they froze the mortgage for 1 year. But it was troublesome times. We struggled big time. As a family, no holidays. Christmas, but the public was fantastic. The donations that they give us was fantastic. The toys for Christmas was incredible. So you couldn't fault the public's response to the miners. In my mind, I think there was 5 miners or scabs actually went up back to work. And even to this day, I will not talk to them scabs. Not only my experience, my father was in mine for 51 years. He was involved with a number of strikes. And even till the day my dad died, he wouldn't speak to the scabs. And you're talking about 30, 40 years ago. So we are very militant family, not only family, the miners are very militant. When we went back to work, we felt defeated, because we knew that we were lost, and our jobs would be on the line within a matter of months, or if not months, years. And exactly what happened, as soon as we went back to work, what Arthur Scargill said, that he was going to close the mines, he done it. 2 or 3 years after, probably the community did change. There was no miners, you know, we was just working everywhere and anywhere. My experience when I was a miner outside my house on the main road every morning at 5 o'clock, there was 5 buses going to different parts of the mine. When the mines closed, there was nobody on the bus stop, there was no buses, there was nothing. All in our community now is probably food factories, computer components, which is paying minimum wage. It's a disgrace. There's men out there, big men, ex-miners in fact, doing women's jobs, and it's degrading because they are so strong and always have worked hard, and now they are sat on the end of the machines doing women's jobs. This one particular night, we had a phone call off the union representative to say that there was a German ship coming in full of coal from Germany up towards Newport Docks. And we were sent there to try to stop the ship coming up to be unloaded. When they got out to Newport Docks, there was probably about 300-400 miners there from different mines, not only our mine. And you're going to laugh at this, but on the side of the docks, there was an old milk disposal depot, and we managed to get into this depot because we were right on the shorefront to see the ship coming up. And the miners was lined up waiting for the ship to come up. And the one boy started to throw a bottle at the ship. And by the end of when the ship passed us, I bet we emptied the bottle yard full of bottles trying to stop the ship. As we got up further where the ship was going to be docked and unloaded, the police were stopping us trying to get through, or trying to get to the docking place. My friend was a bit boisterous. He was more militant than anybody, and he did push through. And when he pushed through, 3 or 4 policemen dropped on his back and they winded him. And with them, 3 or 4 policemen on his back, we retaliated and we went to to push the policemen off my friends. There were 3 of us that day got arrested. I was taken to Newport cells then, which was incredible because I've never been in trouble in my life before, and it was scary. There was 5 of us in one cell. As the day went on, and they just took 2 out and left 3 of us in the one cell. So I was in that cell. We asked could we use the phone. So one of the men was a union representative. He phoned the union and asked, could we get out from you? And they wouldn't let us get out from there unless we paid £75 in costs. The coal board, they froze our assets, or the government froze our assets, because they couldn't afford £75 to bail us out. So we actually spent 2 nights there where we should have only spent 1 night there. They wouldn't pay. £75 to bail us out, each person, right? And we was going to pay it ourselves. My wife was going to get the money from somewhere to pay it, but no, we wouldn't let her do it. So they wouldn't let us have £75. They could, but they froze our assets. So we couldn't. That's incredible. It's true. And like I said, I had big wrist, big miner, and the handcuffs, and they cut me there and there on the 5 of us. The 5 didn't get a damn. When I was in the cells, there was one local policeman, a PC, which was in charge of the cells. And his father worked in the next colliery down to us, the South Glennon. And he was coming in and was telling us, my father's on strike, boys, and I can't believe, you know, we are doing this to you. He was very sympathetic, but, you know, it did make a bit of difference. They still treated us like animals. You know, he was just fighting for our jobs. And got arrested. I honestly believe from to this day, and Lord's 25 years on, that everything we'd done was correct. And I thought that everything that Arthur Scargill had done was correct. I'm probably 1 out of 500,000 to think that, but I honestly believe myself at what he said is right. And if we had listened to him then, we would have probably still had jobs today.
Okay.
I honestly believe if there was another Prime Minister rather than Margaret Thatcher, I think we would have won the day. Because she was portrayed as an Iron Lady, and I think she had to stick by that. And I think if there was another Prime Minister, we would have won. I was in Norgreave, and I was up there for the one full day. There was about 3,000 or 4,000 miners there. And there again, we was outnumbered by police. There was probably 8,000 police there. And I can remember the charge of the police, and they charged us so hard that there was a brick wall behind us. And the force of the charge, we actually pushed the wall over. When I got back home that day, bruised and battered, on the news bulletin, the miners destroyed the wall to use as missiles to throw at the police. But it wasn't true. The police charged us. The wall fell down. And that's when we started to use them as missiles.